Three candidates are running for the spring AS presidential election. I spoke with one of the candidates, second-year computer science student Ephraim Shalinov, who is currently serving as a senator. I first asked Shalinov why he wanted to be student body president over other positions in AS. He spoke about there being a vacuum in true leadership due to presidents being embroiled in controversy, and said his role as a senator wasn't enough to solve important issues caused by systemic issues like fragmentation and financial mismanagement.
The biggest thing is that for 2 years, I've been in the Senate, and I feel like I've accomplished a good number of things in this role. And I'm starting to see that I'm reaching the ceiling of what's possible to accomplish with legislative initiative alone. I think that AS is fundamentally broken in the sense that our organization isn't equipped to actually solve the problems that we're trying to solve. And that's because of a number of reasons. And one of those reasons that we've had a vacuum in true leadership, and that's happened because rather than focusing on specific issues that AS can handle, our couple of last presidencies have been embroiled in controversy and in scandal about issues that have very little to do with services that are being delivered to students. In my experience as a senator, I've learned the ins and outs of the organization, and I think I know what changes need to be made to start delivering more. Next year, we stand to spend $18.7 million as an associate student. That's the largest AS organization in the country, by a decent margin. And despite that, a large fraction of our funds go toward causes that many students will never see. And even the funds that are spent on student issues rarely actually are used in an efficient manner. That's not the fault of student leaders. Student leaders work incredibly hard to deliver these things, but the entire structure and the entire system is made in such a way that it's almost impossible to function well in our current AS. And that's because our staff isn't given the leeway necessary to actually change these systems. And it's also because we don't have a cohesive vision of what associated students altogether means. We've seen ourselves fragment into dozens of different organizations with their own interests and competing desires, rather than a single associated student that's trying to deliver services to students. I'm running for president for a very simple reason. I think that there are many issues on campus that could be solved through the application of associated students' resources, through negotiation with the campus, and I think that we've been failing to do that. I think a great example of that is a legislative accomplishment that we were able to achieve during my first term as a senator in regards to the student health. I think that showcases the model here. What happened there was that the university, in conjunction with Graystar developers, wanted to tear down the structures along Ocean Road, which borders Isla Vista from campus, including the student health building, to build faculty housing without adding any new student housing. And this plan did not include the construction of a new student health building. And as the community started to become outraged about this and started to start channeling that, we weren't seeing any movement from the university. And that's because fundamentally we had nothing to negotiate with. And at that stage, we recognized, and I authored a piece of legislation that since we fund a fraction of student health, and then the money that we give them is very useful for their operations, they rely on associated students' affirmative consent in their functioning because we're a stakeholder, because we fund them. And we weren't comfortable with the direction they were going, so we were able to freeze those funds, more than $1 million, and then start the negotiation process, which in the course of just a week and a half led to the result we wanted, which was a signed contract saying that no demolition would occur on student health prior to the full completion and operational status of a new student health building. That's a huge development that happened in an incredibly short time frame, which is basically unheard of in the huge UC bureaucracy. And the reason is that AS did what AS is for, being radically pro-student and only working towards student interests, right? Most of the time, student interests align with the interests of the campus. But in those places where they don't, we need to fight very hard for them, because we know that the other parties in them, the developers, the people who stand to make money on it, will be fighting hard too. And I think that with that attitude, if I take that to the presidency, and with the team that we've been able to build, I think that there will be a lot more output for students. I think we've been fighting for too long for an ILP library bike path. there is already a ground plan in place that could construct it. The obstacles are that there's not enough pressure on the university or the campus planning office to actually approve it. And Associated Students has the leverage to provide that pressure. I think that food security in Isla Vista is still woefully not being served. 25% of UCSB students aren't fully food secure. That's despite the fact that AS dedicates a huge amount of funds to the food bank, despite other resources being available, including CalFresh, EOP grants. And the reason for that is because, one, many people don't know about these services, and two, people with limited mobility aren't able to actually access their physical locations. And I have specific plans in place to be able to alleviate that concern. And then moving more broadly, I think that AS focuses too much on putting on events and not enough on delivering services. I think that AS events are important for driving the community out and getting out there. But I think a lot of BCUs aren't given the support necessary to actually deliver real tangible things to students. And as a result, they end up mostly kind of delivering events, delivering these kind of more social interactions, which are great. But those things are being provided by RCOs too. And the point of the Associated Students, the point of the student government aspect of it, is that we're able to tackle higher stakes, bigger problems. And we should be doing that. And we should be giving our BCUs the support to be able to do that. In particular, I can think of specific examples, but I want to give you a chance to kind of steer the discussion.
On the topic of saving student health, the UCSB chapter of Young Democratic Socialists of America, a left-leaning student group which organizes around different causes and was the main student group involved in the initiative to save student health, urged students not to vote for Shalinov in an Instagram post. They stated he wasn't the main author of the resolution to address the lack of student health care, that he was opposed to, quote, the idea of leveraging the AS student funds budget against the UC, end quote, and wrote he made the suggestion that YDSA members throw paint at the vice chancellor of student affairs' office so he could act as a, quote, reasonable mediating force, end quote. I asked Shalinov if he wanted to respond to these allegations and how, if president, he would work with groups that disagreed with him. In response to the allegations put forth by YDSA, he stated their post is factually false and that their members are quote-unquote antagonistic towards him.
To directly respond to YDSA, I think that most of what's in their post is clearly and factually false. And that can be checked against both the Senate's records and reporting from the time. I invite people to read the Daily Nexus's articles from the time. I am, of course, the primary author on the legislation. That's just a question of fact. It says my name right up there. And I was the one who wrote it.
KCSB News has so far been unable to verify this information.
And moreover, I want to point out that YDSA is incredibly antagonistic toward me. And the reason for YDSA's antagonism toward me is their obsession with the Israel-Palestine conflict. They've previously in person and otherwise, they'll often come up to me and members of YDSA will harass me before and after Senate meetings, ask me kind of pointed questions and things like that. And my answer to the second question is it doesn't bother me at all. I think YDSA delivers some very valuable things to students, despite not being a registered campus organization and despite the fact that I think YDSA holds some really abhorrent views, particularly on issues pertaining to Israel-Palestine. We can get into that a little bit later. But that's not really relevant to the value that they provide to the campus. And what I'm working on is delivering value to the campus. I think YDSA is able to mobilize a large number of students toward issues. They're able to get petitions signed, and that's great. And that helps us do our job. YDSA's assertion that they save student health is again, I don't care to argue over credit. I think a large number of people participated in a very serious project. I want to specifically point out that the president at the time, Gerline Pabla, was a huge portion of that. And as the chief executive, she was the one delivering AS's negotiation demands and things like that. And of course, YDSA's public pressure helps too. But YDSA repeatedly asked for senators' help on this issue, and no one else was able to take up that call. Their categorization of events is malicious, and it's malicious intentionally. And the reason it's malicious can be very clearly seen in their behavior on October 10th, which is 3 days after October 7th. Because I had worked with them previously on student health, I kind of assumed a pretty decent relationship with YDSA. 3 days after October 7th, which is a really traumatic event for me personally, several of my friends died on that day. I saw them proudly kind of gloating in the attack. This was before any Israeli response. This was just, you know, celebrating the October 7th terrorist attack. And I had a brief conversation with some members of YDSA, which ended in them screaming at me, and I walked away. And that has kind of tainted our relationship. But I don't think that YDSA or other campus groups that take issue with my Jewish identity or with the politics that might spur from that are not valuable contributors to the campus or the goals that we're trying to achieve as a campus. I think that what YDSA can provide for the campus, YDSA should continue to provide for the campus. And as president, it's not my job to be wrapped up in my personal politics. I don't care to talk about my personal views on Israel, where a large part of my family lives and where many of my friends were killed on October 7th, because that's not my job. That's 6,000 miles away from here. My personal activism has literally nothing to do with my presence in AS. And I've come to learn that bringing international events into AS rarely does anything beneficial. It just spurs more division. I'm working on issues I care about. YDSA is working on issues they care about. If those things happen to align, then I'm happy to advocate for the same goals. It's difficult for me to collaborate specifically with YDSA due to their kind of active malice toward me. But in general, I've never had an issue with working with groups that I might disagree with. I work with the Muslim Students Association and meet with them frequently, despite the fact that they, you know, have expressly kind of disagreed with certain positions that I've taken, because I think that's important.
After the story was posted, Mahin Ahmed, the president of UCSB's Muslim Student Association, denied Chalanov's claim that he frequently met with MSA and called it a, quote, blatant lie, end quote.
And as president specifically, I don't think that those issues are particularly relevant, in the sense that I don't intend to comment on international affairs or my personal identity or my personal politics at all as president. That's not my job. My job will be to lead the Associated Students toward delivering actually tangible services and results to students, which of all candidates, I think I have by far the most demonstrated track record of doing. I've had 2 years in the Senate. I've written dozens of pieces of legislation that directly affect how people's lives function here at UCSB. And the truth is that other candidates can't say that.
He went on to discuss how other candidates were making promises in reference to international politics, likely referring to their commitments to advocate for divestment. Shalanov was one of the authors on the resolution to condemn Hamas after the October 7th attacks. I asked him if he considered this resolution to be a way of bringing international events into student politics, and he said while he stands behind that resolution, he doesn't believe it was necessarily the right course of action.
Yeah, when I say I came to learn, I'm referencing that, and that while I do kind of obviously kind of stand behind the legislation that I largely wrote, that the Senate overwhelmingly affirmed, it's kind of a non-statement. I still think that it wasn't, in hindsight, necessarily the right course of action. And I say that because the result wasn't what was hoped. What was hoped was that we can say this statement that almost everyone participating in this discussion can agree on as a kind of starting point and build from there. Unfortunately, it wasn't taken that way. And as a result, it didn't have that effect. And I'm not sure that there's anything that could have been said that would have been taken that way. And I think that moving forward, it's become pretty clear to me that there isn't really a path towards commentary on international affairs within student government that's helpful. I think that everybody actually secretly knows this. There's a reason nobody talks about any other international affairs in our student government. No one's introduced any legislation regarding the Russia-Ukraine war. No one's introduced legislation regarding China's aggression toward Taiwan. No one speaks about South American political instability or even the American humanitarian crisis that's occurring at our southern border. none of those things get discussed in student government because people understand that those things are outside of our reach. For some reason, Israel holds this kind of special place in that. And I honestly think that there's a small and incredibly vocal population at this campus that's on both sides just obsessed with this issue. And I think I was dragged into it in a way that wasn't productive. Of course, I hold my personal views. Everyone holds their personal views. But I think that for most students, and I hope that for most students, they can value the results above the personal identity of who's delivering them. And I think that I have consistently delivered results, and my track record speaks to that.
I moved on to ask about how previous experiences and initiatives had prepared him for the position. He spoke about establishing the Controls and Compliance Office and acting as the chair to address financial misconduct in the form of poor bookkeeping.
When it came to UCSB, I'm studying computer science, so it's not obvious why I would go into politics. It's not necessarily the most common route. And the truth of the matter was that I joined the AS Senate and immediately, or preceding that, recognized that there was a lot of really pretty scary financial misconduct happening. And that was kind of my first project, was some really just profoundly poor bookkeeping combined with some really questionable decision making that started to form a picture of, I'm not sure how to say it politely, but maybe the money isn't being necessarily wasted, rather it's going somewhere into someone's pockets intentionally. And that was a pretty serious concern because that's historically happened in AS many times, including quite recently, which concluded with criminal charges and things like that for embezzlement. And I was pretty spooked that that was happening again. And so the first thing that I did, really as a senator, essentially my first project, was I created something called the Controls and Compliance Committee. Very boring name. And there's a reason. It had a very boring job, which is to make sure people are following the rules with the money. I was chair of that committee, and I was able to get a really clear picture on where our finances stood. And what we learned was not that there was criminal theft or embezzlement, but that there was a lack of financial training happening throughout the organization. And that was the kind of first hint that I had that maybe there isn't enough leadership happening on the student end. Because that's supposed to come from students, and it's not. Different organizations didn't have any standardization in terms of financial reporting. And all of this started to form a pretty clear picture to me that, like, we're spending millions of dollars, but it's very clear to me that a large fraction of that money isn't spent well. By my estimate, over the course of the last 2 years, through various decisions that I've made and various initiatives that I've pressured for, we've probably saved in the sense of rather than spending them on something useless, spent them on something useful, somewhere in the ballpark of $1.5 million, which is a huge amount of money. And I want to be very clear, I'm not claiming some kind of personal credit here. I just want to point out that with some very common sense initiatives, myself and my colleagues, my team, were able to get some very direct results, which we see in terms of increased programming, in terms of increased funding to RCOs.
Shalanov went on to describe how being first president pro tempore of the Senate allowed him to gain experience working with both the legislative and executive body, as well as how he was able to act as a liaison to organizations, which gave him hands-on experience when making decisions related to them. He cited a recent controversy where a budget proposal from President Tessa Vexler planned to remove money from AS Program Board's lock-in fee rollover and would go to finance and business to redistribute the money.
I can point to something that just happened a couple of days ago on Wednesday, where I kind of was in the position to mediate a plan that the president had in order to free up $2 million for expenditure by RCOs and BCUs toward events. This money would have come out of program boards, the AS program boards rollover account. And there was some controversy there in terms of the communication that occurred and with the due notice that they're given. And I think my unique position in terms of having worked with many of these organizations in the past gave me the opportunity to mediate that and work towards a resolution, which I'm hoping to close actually in the next couple of days in terms of a plan moving forward of shared governance over that money. I think I have a unique combination of leadership experience during and before college that equips me to be president. I am a volunteer first responder, and that experience has been something that gives me a very kind of different perspective and a different context that I think a lot of others might not necessarily have in terms of kind of the mission-oriented thinking that is really required to tackle these problems. We're wading through a very large bureaucracy that interacts with an even larger bureaucracy. AS is a almost $20 million at this point organization with hundreds of different moving parts and people that interacts with the billion-dollar UCSB system that interacts with the many hundreds of billions of dollars UC system broadly. And that shared governance, that bureaucracy, is something that you need experience to work with. When I worked with Laura Capps, the county supervisor for our Isla Vista District 2, on developing the 8-point cliff safety plan that she implemented, that was an experience that I think prepares me for later collaborations with the county on reducing over-policing on Deltopia. I think it's completely unacceptable, the behavior of county police this past Deltopia, and I think that come next year, I will have been able to drive real results because I know how to work with these people because I've worked with them before. I have a very direct connection with the county board of supervisors that I've built up with this experience. And I also have worked with them on passing legislation before. I've worked with them on passing the 8-point cliff safety plan. So between those experiences and a very clear vision of what I want to do, I think that that's what uniquely equips me to be president.
Next, I asked what his top three issues were. Shalonov spoke about food security, the lack of campus parking, constructing a bike path between the ILP and the library, housing, and raising money to give to Club RCO funding. He went on to say the key theme in not properly addressing these issues is that AS does not collectively put their weight towards them.
Food security, parking, bike paths, housing. Sorry, that was four. Those issues are what I recurrently hear from students when I speak to them. If you'll give me the liberty of throwing another one in there, I'll also say club and RCO funding. This last year was pretty unfortunate in that regard, in that we ran out of money to give to clubs, and that's because we didn't have a consistent funding philosophy. That's something I'm going to be developing. But I'm also going to be working on raising more money to give to clubs. I also want a better AS faculty collaboration in that regard. Because oftentimes faculty have the best kind of direction and the best advice that they can offer clubs, but they simply don't know that it would be useful there. In my experience, clubs almost universally welcome this when faculty wants to collaborate. So using AS as that conduit to collaborate for clubs would be really great. The bike path situation on campus is pitiful. And the reason it is simply because we haven't been able to negotiate with the campus. UCSB is the number one biked campus in the country. There's some controversy. Maybe it's Davis, but I'm claiming UCSB. And the fact that we're unable to build a bike path in what would become probably our fourth most popular stretch of bike road, if constructed, between the ILP and the bike and the library, is absurd. I myself have personally charted where such a bike path could go. I worked with campus planning and others to see that. The bike committee has been sweating and working on this for literally years. And it was promised in the original plan of the ILP. And the reason the bike committee hasn't been able to accomplish the results here is because they haven't gotten the support of the whole AS infrastructure. I think the key issue here that applies to housing, applies to parking, applies to bike paths, applies to food security, applies to RCO funding. We don't use the entire weight of AS on these issues. We direct a tiny portion of our money and a tiny portion of our attention toward it, whereas we should all together as a huge organization be applying pressure on these issues. Because most often what happens is that the campus is hearing from other parties, right? From the academic senate, from professional staff, from whomever, from private developers, from the state government, from the defense contractors that fund half of our research. They're hearing one thing. Students want another. They don't hear a good consorted voice on that end. Associate students exist to represent that voice. On the topic of housing, starting to form a developers forum has been successful in other campuses. It's something that I want to do here, an AS-led forum between private landowners and students. Our system is really broken, but we need to work with the system that we have. Unfortunately, private landowners are the ones who own the vast majority of the off-campus housing. These are large development companies, but they do respond to the coalition building. And so if we're able to apply the full pressure of the university on them to participate in a forum, we might be able to secure lower rent, but we almost definitely will be able to secure higher standards. in terms of black mold, in terms of safety infrastructure around cliffs, and other issues that off-campus housing has here. These are directly affectable with unionization, with a large group of the community stepping up for that. That's what AS exists for, and that's what I hope to channel AS for in that context. And then with parking, the fundamental issue with parking on campus is that there's not enough of it. And while we need to be increasingly leaning on our sustainable modes of transportation, and I personally don't drive to campus, I personally bike, there are a number of people who just don't have that privilege. People who can't afford to live in Isla Vista and have to live in Goleta and must often drive to campus, if not take the bus. And so construction of more parking would be a great step in the right direction. An issue there lies in that the university isn't willing to bite the bullet in terms of the various environmental studies and things like that necessary for that. And I think that that's a place that AS could step up. So as president, it would be my plan to try to direct at least a small amount of funding and a large amount of attention toward helping the university plan out what could be done about the parking situation on campus, and also try to alleviate fines for first-time offenders. I don't think fines are necessary for the first ticket. I think that it's unnecessarily cruel. It's a cash grab by transportation and parking services. And I think that the way that we fight that is negotiate. And we have the negotiation power. We literally fund transportation and parking services out of your AS student fees to the tune of $170,000 a year. I'm sure that some amount of negotiation could lead to a better settlement on that issue.
In response to food insecurity, as a senator, Shalinov recently proposed an initiative to have a mobile food pantry, which would act as an arm of the food bank and could deliver food to Isla Vista, Goleta, and downtown Santa Barbara. I asked if he planned to continue this work as a president. He said this may not be in his jurisdiction, but that he would intend to help it succeed and secure permanent funding for the project. I moved to ask Shalinov how, after a year of controversy, discontent, and disconnect, he would approach strengthening the relationship between student government and the student body. He said that while the student body is disconnected, he doesn't view there to be discontent with AS. He went on to cite improvements made in business units, including a higher rate of hiring, less money wasted, and an improved savings plan. To him, the main issue people had with AS revolved around viewpoints on Palestine and Israel.
I definitely hear that question, but to be honest, I hear this narrative a lot, and I'm not sure it's true. I think that disconnect, I'll agree with. The vast majority of students on campus, I talk to students about student government all the time. It's basically all I do. Most people have barely heard of AS. And most people, when you tell them how much money AS spends each year, have the same reaction. Yesterday, I was talking to the chemistry club at an event of theirs. I was speaking to some students afterward. And I said, yeah, AS spends, yeah, next year it's going to be spending a little over $18 million. And the reaction was what? And that's everyone's reaction, right? And so for you and me in our world where we see this stuff and it's normal, we see there's controversy. Sure, there's been political strife. Actually, I think this year has been quite successful in terms of delivering some improvements. This year, we've seen a much higher rate of service delivery across the board in our business units. This year, we've seen a higher rate of hiring within our vacancies than we've seen for the last 4 years. We've seen a higher expenditure rate on deliverables and a lower expenditure rate on overhead, which is a fancy way of saying we've wasted less money. We've improved our savings plan, which is significantly impacting the amount of money that students need to pay into AS for the same level of services. We're able to lower the amount of money that people would need to pay in for the same amount of services. So I kind of disagree with the ascension, the framing that AS is, you know, in some horrible state. But yeah, there certainly is controversy. There certainly is that. And I would basically boil down the entire... It's a little bit more complicated than that, but essentially the controversy, as far as I can see it and from where I am, is disagreements about a war happening 6,000 miles from here. I think it's incredibly sad that people have let that consume their kind of political headspace so that they don't have time to think about issues that people actually care about. I've kind of thought of different ways to say this publicly before, so I'm glad that I've been asked this question in this context, which is that, like, I spend, I'm not going to give an hour estimate a week, but AS is a full-time job for me. I spend more than, you know, most of my day every day working on AS. The political kind of disagreements that occur in relation to faraway war and kind of disconcerting campus divisions don't take up my headspace. That's not what I'm working on. Sometimes I'm forced to be reactive. Last night, somebody spray painted in blood red the word Zionist over my campaign poster, over my name. The police are investigating. I don't know what else to say about that. Like, if I could address the person who spray painted that over my name, what I'd say to them is that they don't know me. They don't know anything about the policies that I've been enacting. They don't know what I'm working towards. They see me as visibly and publicly and proudly Jewish. No, I'm not going to compromise on that. No, I'm not going to say that it's okay to murder my family. YDSA wants me to say that so that they want me to walk away on 3 days after October 7th. That was a demand that was made of me. And like, no, that's not going to happen. I'm not going to agree to that. I'm not going to capitulate to that. But it doesn't mean it's something that I'm stickling on. It's not my position. It's not my place, and it's not what I'm here to fight for. I'm a computer science student. I have seen that Associated Students has a lot of potential to grow into an amazing organization. The funding is there. The people are there. The dedication is there. What's not there is good leadership. And I think that in my experiences throughout AS, I've built up a body of experience and a body of results that I can show to people that can inspire confidence in my leadership and in the team's leadership toward taking all of AS and unifying it behind a single goal, which is delivering services to students. My campaign tagline is leadership that delivers, and I'm very serious about that. When we've seen a year of division, I see that, and I see that as an opportunity for next year to prove to people that AS can be so much more than a forum for expressions of discontent. AS should be a forum for expressions of discontent. That's part of the purpose, but it shouldn't be the primary purpose. My intention as president is to take our association and by nature our campus to the next level in terms of improving the experience of students at UCSB. Handling real issues that people actually see in front of them, that people actually care about, and that people beg their elected representatives to deal with. And I feel like I've run out of space to do that in the Senate. I've hit my ceiling in that regard. And I'm asking the student body for the confidence in me to elevate my position to the presidency in order to keep delivering those promises. My team is a wonderful, diverse, amazing group of people who genuinely believe in helping the campus. I've worked with most of them for a long time. With this group of people, I am entirely confident that we'll be able to take AS next year, to take the $18.7 million that AS intends to spend next year, and show people real results. People will be less hungry. People will get to class faster. People will be able to park their bike somewhere. People won't have to run over the pothole on the way there. We can start to work on the black mold. We can start to work on cliff safety. We can start to work on cliff erosion. We can start to work on parking access. We can start to work on vouchers for people to return home who aren't able to afford it during winter and spring break. Or we can keep arguing about Israel-Palestine. So to me, it feels like that's the choice for voters. And if you prefer the former, I'd really encourage you to vote Ephraim for AS president.
Throughout the interview, Shalinov made a few mentions of YDSA. The day before this interview took place, the Daily Nexus published an article stating that a student filed multiple complaints to the university administration against an associate student's off-campus senator and first president pro tempore, which was Senator Ephraim Shalinov, for threatening abuse of power and harassment. The Nexus went on to describe the incident. The allegation stated that a group of friends was tabling with YDSA and had a Palestinian flag laid out on the table. According to the allegation, Shalinov took issue with this, called them terrorists, and said they support the violence Hamas perpetrates and that they deserve to have it done to them. The allegation went further to say he also allegedly threatened to use his position in AS to hinder YDSA on campus. Shalinov denies the allegations in the article.
Three separate university offices have heard and dismissed these claims. They are malicious, they're false, they're outrageous, they're motivated by malice. I don't think that they're motivated by a hatred toward me for my identity. I think they're motivated toward by just a hatred toward me, frankly. And I'm really concerned about them. I think it's really troubling that people would weaponize this type of language and devalue legitimate experiences of this sort by lying and inventing a narrative. I sent to my kind of my community and my friends sort of my my personal thoughts on this matter. I don't want to delve too deep into it because, frankly, it's a pretty upsetting experience for me and I don't like talking about it. But I think for constituents who are interested, I think that the key thing is this, that on October 10th, which was 3 days after a number of my friends had been murdered, I see YDSA, an organization I'd previously worked with, proudly flying a Palestinian flag. And while it, absent that context, that can seem completely innocuous. And in a vacuum, I think that's totally fine. I invite people to kind of picture what flying an Al-Qaeda flag on, you know, September the 14th would have looked like in New York, right? This was an incredibly traumatic experience for everyone who has family and friends in Israel, particularly those who knew the victims of that attack. Taking pride in this attack is a completely morally bankrupt position. And then taking it to the next level to invert that and to lie that I had wished that same violence on other people is just completely disgusting. Three different university offices have heard and dismissed these claims. To put it very bluntly, these are nonsensical lies. Yes, I did talk to YDSA on October 10th, and yes, that conversation was not pleasant. But no, I obviously did not threaten anyone. I think that that is an incredibly serious allegation, which I'm glad that the university has heard and cleared. There's no further kind of discussion I feel is necessarily necessary, but if this kind of continues to be an important kind of point, I'd be happy to point people toward the numerous eyewitnesses who saw this interaction. It was in broad daylight in public. This is not questioned.
He went on to claim that the Daily Nexus editorial has an anti-Israel slant and said the story was politically motivated.
I'm incredibly disappointed by the Nexus's editorial conduct here. I think that the Nexus knows very well what they're doing. The alleged event here is 6 months ago. They publish it 4 days before the election. The Nexus has an incredibly anti-Israel editorial bias. Quite frankly, this is a political smear.
Lastly, he stated there were legitimate concerns to contest his candidacy, but his views on Israel, as well as any connection he has to President Tessa Wexler, are not legitimate.
I want to be clear. My presidency will have nothing to do with Tessa Wexler's. Tessa is a friend of mine and someone that I respect greatly. I significantly disagree with many aspects of her presidency, including portions of her management style and her priorities as president. I think that a shift needs to be made. When people identify me with her simply due to our shared Jewish identity, it becomes incredibly clear to me and incredibly transparent to me what they actually have a problem with, right? There are legitimate reasons to contest my, you know, my claim and to argue for other candidates, and other candidates are great people with great qualifications. That's all well and good. But when people identify me with other publicly visible Jews because I'm a publicly visible Jew, to put it bluntly, I'm sick of talking about this. I'm sick of talking about being Jewish. I'm sick of talking about Israel-Palestine. I'm sick of talking about it. I want to talk about the issues that I'm working on. I want to talk about the issues that I care about. I want to talk about the issues that students care about. I am not Israeli. I am not in the Israeli army. I am not the prime minister of Israel. I have no control over what happens 6,000 miles from here. I do not have Bibi's phone number, and I cannot call him to free Palestine. Like, there's no kind of decision making that I could do that could affect anyone in that conflict. I have friends who are deeply, deeply affected by it. I have family who are in bomb shelters as we're talking right now. Yes, it's emotionally heavy for me. And the way that I deal with that is by having a community that supports me and having a very, very supportive friend group and support system, which is why I don't feel it's necessarily relevant to my qualifications as president. I think that I have the experience and the vision to do a great job as president, and I think that I have proven that it's not my intention to talk about these issues. And the one time that I've been participating in raising them myself, which is in relation to the condemnation of Hamas, was something that I felt was very deeply important to people who had repeatedly asked me to do this within the community that were asking for this expression. It was also something that was almost unanimously agreed upon by the Senate and supported by the other kind of senators running for major executive positions. So I think I'm being unfairly targeted. And when I say that, I can say that with complete conviction and complete with the truth on my side, but also with evidence on my side. I didn't say the thing that they accused me of saying. I never threatened anyone, and I have never threatened anyone on anything of the sort. And abusing my trauma from my friends dying days before to argue with me about politics is pretty disgusting. And then trying to invert that and weaponize that is really just pretty sad. So I hope that voters can see the flaws in the reporting, can see the fact that three different university offices have already heard this, investigated this claim, and cleared it. There's no action was taken is a very clear indication of the truth. And I hope that people can believe in the thing that we're trying to build here.
I asked him to clarify his point of comparison between flying the Palestinian flag and the Al-Qaeda flag to see if he considered Palestinian advocacy to be the same as expressing support for Hamas. He responded that he did not, and changed his analogy to that of flying a Japanese flag after Pearl Harbor, and that it was the timing of the flag that made the difference.
Maybe I'll make a better analogy. Maybe I'll say flying the Japanese flag after Pearl Harbor. In that, while there's plenty of legitimate advocacy for the Palestinian cause that has nothing to do with the cause of Hamas, why do you say was not flying the Palestinian flag on October 6th? Flying the Palestinian flag immediately after October 7th attack, before any Israeli response, before anyone in Gaza had been killed, before any Israeli military operation, is incredibly clear to me what their intention was. Their intention was to celebrate the October 7th attack.
Next, we move to discussing the current president, Tessa Wexler, who recently faced a recall petition over allegations that she failed to properly represent the student body. I asked how he would ensure all students felt represented and advocated for. He responded that while he hopes to represent all identities, he doesn't think it's his job to represent the spectrum of political belief.
The biggest thing is positive and concurrent outreach. I think that where issues affect a particular community, it's important to have a representative of that community present to discuss it. My cabinet intends to be as representative of the school as possible, but moreover, I intend to have members of my team dedicated to constantly gaining feedback from students about issues that affect them. This is particularly important in terms of positions on the academic senate and university commissions and committees of that sort, right? And I think a good example of this is if you don't have a College of Engineering student present for discussions about the College of Engineering curriculum, which unfortunately was the reality in the last year's administration, you're going to have a lack of representation. And that occurs with ethnic communities, that occurs with religious communities. I think kind of to answer the question you're not asking in terms of specifically Muslim and pro-Palestine students who felt underrepresented by President Wexler, I don't seek to represent political views or political communities. I do seek to represent identity views and identity communities. I don't think it's my job to represent the spectrum of political belief. Nothing is going to compel me to go and, you know, represent our neo-Nazi students. And no one's going to compel me to represent, views that are outside on the fringes. And that doesn't mean that, like, I want to be completely clear here. No one should compel me to represent Zionist students. That's not my position. I'm not going to be representing that group. I am not a representative of the Zionist community. And I don't think representatives of the Zionist community necessarily require a voice in politics. I think representatives of the Jewish community. And I think that's a very important distinction. So I think representatives of the Muslim community on our campus need to be heard and need to be present in these conversations. The politics aren't necessarily the point that needs to be represented. It's the identity. It's the feelings that people have. So particularly with Muslim Students Association, I'm going to be welcoming them into our conversations. I've spoken to them at length in the past. I know that there's currently something called the Muslim Jewish Coalition that's being built up right now with representatives of MSA and Hillel and others. That's something I hope to be able to leverage on those particular issues because of that particular division on campus.
UCSB MSA President Maheen Ahmed told KCSB News that MSA was not affiliated with any Muslim Jewish coalition.
I've heard that there's a feeling of underrepresentation amongst Black students, in particular in relation to North Hall. I know that there's an initiative to rename North Hall at present. And while I haven't heard, I know that there's some controversy within the Black community about what it should be named. So I'm not yet comfortable advocating for a particular name. I've heard Malcolm X Hall, but I don't think that's universally agreed upon because I believe they're part of that community feels that's a controversial figure. But once there's a consensus within a community I on issues that pertain to that community, I feel like it's very clear that the job of the president is to advocate for that consensus, even if it's a consensus that has nothing to do with me. So in particular, I don't know the experience of being a Muslim student on this campus. That doesn't mean it's not my job to advocate for Muslim students on the campus. I think there have been some really great examples of that being done. I know that several senators right now are working on a reflection room, which is something that the Muslim community has been asking for to be able to accommodate prayer requirements during the middle of the day on campus. And that's something that I'd be very happy to pick up and support if I were able to do so as president. But I want to reiterate that it's not about representing political blues, right? The political spectrum on our campus is very broad and includes beliefs that are so fringe that I don't think it's necessarily my place to represent them, because that actually alienates people and alienates identities, right? If I were to enfranchise, let's say, TPUSA's beliefs in that public open context, first of all, I'd have to compromise on my own morals and my own political views, which to an extent I'd be willing to do if that's something that the campus needs. But I don't think that would actually be helpful. I don't think people would say, oh, okay, great, everyone's being represented. I think people would see that as an enfranchisement of some really fringe and, in my opinion, bigoted views. And so to avoid that issue altogether, my philosophy on the issue is that politics is not what I'm representing. I'm representing people. And so when there are identity groups, that's something I can represent. So I, for instance, I think a really great example of that is there's Christian clubs on campus that are advocating politically for things that I don't feel like would be important to platform. But the identity, the religious Christian identity, is something that could be platformed, could be enhanced, right? And that goes for all religions, and it goes for all ethnic groups.
Continuing on the topic of the recall petition, I said that some students and AS members felt that not allowing the recall election to take place was not effectively representing the wishes of the student body. Shalanov was a proponent of not allowing the recall election to happen. I asked how he would respond to this concern. He stated that he felt the recall election would have been unproductive considering Vexler's term is almost over.
I want to be clear. I wasn't the recall petition occurred and passed. So the Senate's job in this process is once a recall petition has been received to determine whether or not it's a good idea to have a recall election. And the reason I believe it wasn't is most directly because the actual general election is happening on Monday. Mm-hmm. If the recall election were to be happening, it would also be happening on Monday. So in either case, the recall petition would be more to do with it wouldn't actually impact the leadership or policies of the association. It has to do with a single person, and it would be an inappropriate sort of performance review of a single person. People don't need to be subjected to a vote on their job as president after they are president. Tessa's term is essentially over. Having that election would do nothing for the student body, would do nothing, like literally have no effect on the association. It would simply have more hate, more division, more throwing on both sides. It's not something that actually kind of helps anyone. I hear the petitioners and I hear what they're saying, and I don't think that it would have been at that stage a productive election to hold. And that was the vote the Senate took, is that having the election at that point would not be productive.
Lastly, I moved on to ask if there were any takeaways Sean Alv would want listeners to take from his campaign.
The biggest thing is that I have a track record of delivering on my promises, and I have a track record of delivering actual results for students. So if you want leadership that delivers, you should vote a friend.
With KCSB News, I'm Zoha Malik.